Jimmy Johnson and Michael Rockenfeller, who were two-thirds of the race team behind the Garage 56 entry at the 2023 24 Hours to Le Mans race. Both are here to kind of talk about their experience, both with the race itself and the preparation that went into it, as well as the added component of filming a documentary around it and what that was like, juggling those two experiences. The film will come out on Prime Video tomorrow, June 12th. If you want to raise your hands in the queue, we'll be looking out for who has a hand raised and is ready to ask a question. And we'll just go through, try and get everybody one question before moving on to second questions. We'll have about 30 minutes with the guys. So if you want to start indicating who has a question, we'll go ahead and get started. Margo, I might not be able to see the hands raised. Do you see that on your end?
Yeah, I do. We have Samuel. Samuel Stubbs.
All right. Hey, guys. Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Jimmy and Mike, both of y'all, you've both obviously accomplished so much in your racing careers. Jimmy, a seven-time Cup champion, Daytona 500 winner, now a Cup Series team owner. Mike, winning Le Mans before. When you look at the undertaking of this project and getting to race at Le Mans, but also doing it by bringing the NASCAR stock car to Le Mans again for the first time in almost 50 years when this happened, how does that rank for both of y'all in terms of, I guess, all the accomplishments? Where does this stack up in both of y'all's careers?
For me, it is so far up there. I haven't really thought about it and giving it a place, but there's so much for me that went into it. Being back with Hendrick Motorsports, being able to go to Le Mans, and now as I sit here, I'm not sure I'll have a chance to go there and race at Le Mans. I mean, I'd love to, but just the way life is twisting and turning, that might be my one shot to do it. And I was able to go back with Hendrick Motorsports, work with Chad Knaus and Greg Ives, folks at Chevy, Goodyear. You know, my whole NASCAR career, we were like all back together for that moment. And to develop the car with Rocky, and we had Jensen come on board, Jordan Taylor, you know, the experience we had, the friendship that grew from that, the time we spent together, the race itself, you know, there are just so many, you know, true emotional pieces to the event that I don't think I could have experienced elsewhere. You know, when you're there racing for the trophy, racing for points, you know, you're in a different headspace. And I feel like we all knew we really had something to prove with this car, certainly from the NASCAR side of it. I know Rocky felt like there's a big obligation to make sure that his experience was going to really help get this car on track and be ready for the performance required at Le Mans. And the other categories were a little nervous about us being out there. And I'll never forget the first driver's meeting. And they were trying to put a special light on our car, notify us differently as other cars would approach us at such a high rate of speed that we were going to be in the way. And you know, we all took offense to it. And of course, you know, everybody knows how quick the car was, but there were just these various layers that we collectively worked through, collaborated on, that it's made it an extremely special opportunity and different than anything else I've experienced.
I feel pretty much the same what, you know, Jimmy already said. I would say when it came up at the very early stage to be involved in the development, I really enjoyed that part. But initially I was like, whoa, we're going to race in Le Mans, a NASCAR, how is that going to work? And of course, when you're used to go there with a big manufacturer fighting for overall victories, it's a bit of a different challenge and task. But looking back at the whole journey, of course, with the final, let's say, being in Le Mans and take on the 24-hour race, I would say it was probably one of the coolest experiences in my whole racing career. We had a great atmosphere. It was just, you know, working with the best of the best people on that project. And also the feedback we got from the fans, from all the other drivers in the paddock, the manufacturers, the teams, was pretty outstanding. Yeah, when I, you know, at home, when you look at your, I don't know, model cars or your race suits, and you know, when I look at it now as a full set, I would say this was one of the best, like I said, one of the absolute best experiences of my life, including now having a documentary about it, which is, yeah, super special, clearly.
Thank you.
All right, next we have John Newby, and then in the queue after John will be Tony, Jerry, Nick, and Holly, just so you can start getting yourselves lined up.
Perfect, thank you. So, Jim, you kind of mentioned this already, but one of the most fascinating parts I found of the documentary is going from, like, the sideshow to proving that you guys could compete. You know, especially the pit crew challenge where everyone was kind of stopping and staring at the pit crew working out. Almost looked like a scene from Cool Runnings or something. I was curious, you know, what was that experience like being in the moment, being that sideshow, and then showing everybody, hey, we can win the pit crew challenge, we can compete on this track?
It was neat. I mean, we had a fair amount of confidence of how we were going to perform with the car, with the crew, and the intentionality of making sure the crew, you know, we still used a mechanical jack. So and then of course those big strong dudes out there doing calisthenics and working out and all that. It was great because every time a new team came by to see the car, see what our crew is doing, you could just see them walk away with great respect of what we had going on and impressed by the project. Even the massive scrutineering that took place with the FIA officials and the ACL or ACO, you know, there's just layers and layers, and they'd come and inspect the car and dig around and look, and they would walk in very stern and then leave and like, man, you guys get your stuff together. Like, wow, well done. And so we kept seeing that, and it just felt great for us to experience that. And Chad went over the year before and was able to get a real close look at things. And then thankfully he was on the DPI car that we drove at Action and was really able to see how the sports car world worked. And we were prepared. And with the resources at Hendrick and the great partnership and collaboration from all, everybody was eager to show off what we could do, even as far as carrying the jack all the way down pit lane and standing on the podium, you know, holding a mechanical jack as they were accepting their trophy.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So next we're actually going to go to Jerry. Jerry, and then we can do Tony
after. Hey, Jimmy. Sorry, I'm actually on the plane going to Mexico City. So real quick, you know, we were over in France and doing all the run-up, and you guys were heroes there. But in the 2 years since we've been there, what has life been like since you got back? Because you and everyone else were known on a national scale, but you're on a global scale now. And the fan base, I can't imagine how much that's grown for you.
It certainly has, and I would say more so international level. My time I've been spending here in England, been to a few different events and races throughout Europe. I was in Spa for the 6-hour WEC race a few weeks ago, and day one, no one knew I was coming to the race. But you know, the next day when I showed up, I was walking through the paddock. I mean, there the flexible car, the diecast car, they were everywhere. People had photos, and it was all from the Garage 56 program. So when I meet them, it's especially European, that's one of the first questions they ask. It was such a hit here that, you know, if you were a fan in person and that car would come by every 4 or 5 minutes and shake you out of your tent, or somebody that, you know, knew what we accomplished from a motorsports perspective, there's just been great respect. And then I think from the U.S. side and through racers, there's been almost like an admiration for us and a thanks to us that, you know, we took it seriously and showed well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great. Next is Tony.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciated that. For Jimmy, having raced primarily in NASCAR and then IndyCar, that's a single spec, but your sports car experience has been very prototype-heavy before the Garage 56 car. I'm curious, how much did Mike help from a class dynamic standpoint, going where you're faster than the GT cars, intermixing with the prototypes, and how much did your prototype experience in IMSA and other in Grand Am previously kind of help adapting into that multi-class format?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous about it. Really getting a habit in a prototype of rarely checking your mirrors. You just really don't have any pressure from behind. And if you do, you got a nice sense of it for a period of time. So I was nervous. I think Jordan was really helpful as well with the radar system that you're allowed to run on the GT category. And we got that dialed in pretty well. And then, you know, Rocky and his experience of the track, where to position yourself. The final few corners are pretty tricky, and the prototypes catch you at a high rate of speed. So there's kind of a couple scenarios there where you've got to be on your toes. And, you know, Rocky was really helpful with many things, including that. So it turned out to be a little better experience staring in the mirror the whole time than I expected. So that was a welcome surprise.
Great. All right, next we have Nick, followed by Holly, Alanis, and Scott.
Yeah, thank you. For Mike, you have a lot of experience at Le Mans, you know, LMP1 cars, GT cars, and I'd like to know what your initial reaction was when you first got to driving this Garage 56 entry with the Hedrick Motorsports team, and was there anything that really surprised you as a veteran of Le Mans when you got into this car, and any preconceived notions you had that were kind of shattered when you started driving it?
Well, to be honest, probably the first real taste was the first sim day we did, when there was a lot of attendance from, you know, all the partners involved. I've never seen so many people attending a sim session. And then Jeff Gordon took me for a tour through Hendrick Motorsports, which has been the first time I've seen Hendrick Motorsports, but also in general, let's say one of the biggest NASCAR teams. So it was just mind-blowing for me. And, you know, I was like a kid, like basically when I joined, I would say, Porsche back in the day when I was 18 years old. It's like a kid in a candy shop. You're just, you know, blown away by the size, by the manpower, by, you know, the brain power, basically. And then I understood how cool it is. So it was way, way bigger than I thought it will be, probably, because I just had no clue. Of course, I was always following NASCAR and I admire this championship a lot, and I wish I had a chance when I was younger to, you know, to put my foot into cup racing. So it was just a dream come true to be involved, and and then to bring that kind of car to Le Mans as a team was just amazing. And, you know, also to make friends over this journey with a lot of people was just so cool. But clearly, every test, every sim day we did, it was just, you know, top notch. We tried to hit our targets, which we set pretty much at the first sim day, where we knew, okay, we started with a standard cup car in Le Mans, and then we knew where we were, and then we knew how much we wanted to improve. And, you know, we knew, okay, what weight can we take out of the car probably, what power can we have, what, you know, tire grip, downforce, all these figures you try to, you know, implement and see what comes out of it. And then we pretty much hit all the targets, I would say, over the course of the development. And then Jimmy and Jensen jumped on board. And from there on, we were doing it, the three of us, including Jordan. And that was super cool. I think we just had fun, you know, every time, and we improved every time, we got quicker. And then you have a final day, a final test before you send the cars over. And we knew pretty much what to expect when we arrived in Le Mans. But we were still nervous, not nervous, but I would say You are never 100% sure if it's really doing or driving like you like it was in the sim, right? We did a lot of correlation work after every test, but yeah, when we hit the track on the pretest in Le Mans, it was exactly like we were hoping it will be.
Awesome, thank you.
Great. Next is Holly, followed by Alanis, Scott, Brandon.
Hi, thank you so much. I have to say it was one of the most amazing experiences of my career to be there covering you guys at Le Mans, but I wanted to ask you, and Jimmy, maybe you for this one, the reaction of the fans the day you guys were doing the autograph signing, it was absolutely unbelievable. Everybody was down at the far end of pit road having you guys sign. And it was such to the extent that I spoke to a couple of the Ferrari teams just to the left of you, and they were laughing because there was literally no one even there to try and get their autograph. Could you talk about, in the moment, the reception of the fans for you guys?
Yeah, it was quite impressive. I don't think any of us knew what to expect. And certainly Rocky has had a history there and a very strong fan base that has been with him. But for us in the program and certainly for myself, I didn't really know what was going to happen. And from the parade to the autograph session, there's just these various moments that just kept impressing me that I wasn't expecting. There's even one night we went out to, there's a local, small little track bar that's outside of the garage area. And we went up there and got some beers one night. And the fans were just going crazy over the fact that we're driving this Garage 56 car and everything behind it. So it was really impressive.
I wanted to ask you both, do you have a photograph of the grid where the car looks like the monster in the back?
Yeah, the social media push that came out, the music, the screeching eagle, just all the different elements, the jumbo size car. I thought somebody photoshopped it at first, then I realized that's just how big our car was. That was really a fun moment. We had some good laughs.
Same for me. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, you've had so many great experiences at Le Mans. Where does this kind of go for you in terms of, what you'll remember, what you'll take away, because it was so different, perhaps, than what you were used to previously.
Yeah, I think, pretty much what I said at the beginning, it was so different and just pure joy. I mean, yes, it was a little, bittersweet at the end with the issue we had. I think that's something we were disappointed about at the time, because, of course, we wanted to finish as high as possible in the overall ranks, and it looked really, really good for us until that transmission problem happened. But clearly, it was something where I didn't have the pressure in terms of, when you come there, drive for overall victory or, for a big manufacturer competing against all the others, it was probably, there was a bit more tension. And here we had pressure, but somehow there was more joy with it. I don't know how to describe it, but it's something I will never forget. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful that I was part of this journey. And obviously now to have it as a documentary, I think that's something I'm really looking forward to, as I haven't seen it yet.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Holly. Next we have Alanis, followed by Scott, and then we'll finish up with Brandon.
Thank you so much, Ben. Hi, both. I was really curious. We've talked a lot about how y'all feel right now about doing Garage 56 and being there and how special it was. But something I find really valuable is thinking about what childhood me and what elderly me would think about things I've done in my life. So what do you think childhood you and elderly you would think about knowing that you did that Garage 56 NASCAR project?
I like how Mike went to mute.
He just went to mute. Great. And he's like, no.
Yeah. It's hard because the kid me, I knew of the race, but it was so far away. I just didn't know what it was going to be like. I mean, it was such a discovery for me, and I knew it'd be a big event, but I had no idea, you know, what an 8.5 mile lap would feel like and the track would be like. I mean, heck, we went out to run it one day, and that's a long way around the track. So, and the fact that you're on all these public roads and some small percentage of it's actually a permanent racing facility, and so I guess it's really that understanding of what it was really like. And oftentimes I found when I go somewhere, it always feels smaller than what I thought it was, but everything about Le Mans was bigger and more grand than the kid version of me thought it would be.
I mean, for me, as I have been there many times before, obviously I knew the whole scenery, right? So nothing was unexpected, but I would say to go there with this unique car, I was blown away by the reactions of everybody, the sound. And still, when I go somewhere in America, when I race in IMSA, you know, it's still every time there's people with the model cars, with autograph cards of us. And it's just so cool, because I felt, you know, I was, as the, let's say, one of the European drivers in this project, representing, I would say, the American racing, I would call it, in my, not country, but where I grew up racing, was super cool. And Le Mans is just special. I mean, when I went there the very first time, when I was, I think, 18 years old with Porsche, when I didn't race, they sent me over just to watch the race for the first year. Yeah, to go there at night, to see cars racing at night is something I will never forget. And then that's something I really do enjoy. Luckily this time, when it was raining at night, Jimmy was in the car, not myself, so I could have a nice rest.
Thank you. All right. Next we have Scott, then Brandon, and then we'll actually finish with Chris. So we're going to add one more question, but after that, we'll be wrapped.
Hey, Jimmy, this is a two-part question. Number one, it was good to see you again. I saw you at Daytona. But the main thing is number one, how do you like racing in 24-hour races?
I love them. I'm just kind of an endurance junkie from my training regimen and the things that I'm interested in. I've always been about it. And as a kid, I was always just captivated by the 24-hour race in Daytona and Le Mans. Right. Some of the off-road racing I did was endurance focused, and the Baja 1000 would, you know, take more than 24 hours to finish in some years. So I've always been drawn to it.
And then the second part of my question is this: once you conquer this, I know it's once in a lifetime experience with you being reunited with Hendrick, Tony Stewart's in the NHRA. What's left for you to accomplish out there? You've done NASCAR, you've done Indy, you're doing this, and now Tony's getting his adrenaline rush doing NHRA. So do you have any future plans? I guess we call them bucket list, okay? And I envy, I wish I could get to 24 hours a month. I'm settling for Iceland instead. Not the worst alternative, but I wish I were with you. But what's next on the agenda for Jimmy Johnson?
I'm really enjoying the team ownership side, and this year we've made some real steps forward in performance, and we've also been able to kind of start putting the bricks of the foundation down for the vision of the company. And I'm surprised how much fun I'm having and how invigorated I am for this process, how much I'm learning. There's been plenty of failures, so I always learn best from failures, and we've had plenty over the 3 years I've been involved. So a lot of growing, which I really do appreciate at the end of the day. And so we'll see where this goes. I think we can do something really unique and special with Legacy and honor racing, all forms of racing, create an experience for avid fans or casual fans. And so I'm excited for the future and where this is going.
Well, have you learned a lot from Richard Petty at all? I know that you've been with him for a while, and I remember when you were initially getting going with it, but obviously the King has a lot of knowledge that he can bring to the table.
Without a doubt. And the thing that I will always, always hang on to is his love for this sport. He still goes to 20-something races a year. I mean, he absolutely loves this sport. So, and a very sharp man as well. So, yes.
Thank you very much. Great seeing you again.
Cheers.
Okay, Brandon, and then we'll finish up with Chris.
Hey, fellas, my question is for Jimmy and Mike. We're putting together a documentary like this. What were some of the biggest pros and cons of doing it?
You mean of doing the documentary or?
Just the whole process.
Well, I mean, it was just honestly to do the documentary, I didn't really feel it. I mean, we did a few interviews, but they were basically all the time in the background. So it was just not really noticeable. I mean, of course, you see the people and you see the equipment going around, but like, it's not like, you know, we had to do much for it. So, which I think is really cool, probably to see that, because it was nothing was fake. Of course, you do some interviews afterwards and probably they use some of those quotes and stuff, what I saw so far on social media and you know, on the trailer. But I mean, everything is real. It just happened, and they were, you know, in a way just with us. And I think that was super easy for us.
Yeah, I would add that sometimes with the docu-style filming, it's kind of an irritation. Like you're trying to work, you're trying to win a race. And there was a different agenda with this project. And I think it was the most relaxed docu-style, or, you know, obviously the docu, but with camera crews and letting people in, like we were trying to invite them in to show how unique this experience was and all the work and effort and energy that went into it. I don't think there was any down points, as Rocky mentioned, and I think it's because of the headspace. We were there to do, you know, to tell a story, and the documentary was a big part of that.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Jimmy, this question's mostly for you on the team ownership side of things. When you look at the logistics that went into doing something like racing a stock car at Le Mans and just everything it took from the car to the testing to the travel, looking at the team ownership side for Legacy, does it give you a newfound appreciation or maybe insight into what it takes for NASCAR taking on Mexico City this weekend and all the logistics it took to take a team from Michigan all the way to Mexico?
Yeah, the logistics were really mind-bending and impressive for Le Mans. How far ahead Chad and the group needed to be to get equipment over the really this compound that the GM built, that the drivers stayed in, and the way that they looked after us, to the garage setup and engineering and all these different elements. I mean, it's if you haven't been, or anyone that hasn't been to Le Mans to see the infrastructure required to put this race on from a team standpoint, you just shake your head. It's incredible. Thankfully, we don't have as much to take to Mexico City, but there's certainly, it's a long distance. It's probably even more complicated in some respects where we're driving our own equipment so far down through Mexico itself, air freighting stuff in, and you know, there's just a layer of separation there that's maybe easier in some respects, but it takes time, it takes cubic dollars, and it takes people that really know what the heck they're doing. And I do have a much better appreciation for the logistics required, and then just in general, now being 3 years into the team ownership side, from culture to facilities, resources, all everything I experienced at Hendrick, you know, it was a well-oiled machine when I arrived, and I was able to come in and add my style to it and develop, you know, this team. But I was a small piece of that. That so much of it had been set in place and was in existence, and I have such a deep appreciation now for what I had. Not that I ever took it for granted, but I didn't realize what I had. And now I'm trying to replicate it and build it, and it's no easy feat.
I think that's it. Thank you to everybody for joining, taking some time out of your day to talk American Thunder. We're really excited about the premiere, which again is tomorrow, Thursday, June 12th. Hope everybody will take time to watch it. And thank you to Jimmy and Mike for taking the time. Everybody have a great day.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.